There's a complete overhaul that has been proposed by the Minister of Home Affairs, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, of South Africa's immigration laws. The Department of Home Affairs is going ahead with its white paper on immigration, and this despite, of course, the objections of a number of civil society organizations. And the minister has highlighted a number of issues, including the fact that the department has no idea how many migrants are in South Africa illegally. Have a listen to the minister.
The Department of Home Affairs has no idea as to how many illegal immigrants are in South Africa. However, immigration services deport between 15,000 and 20,000 illegal foreigners every year. And at a huge cost, the number is on the increase, obviously. The establishment of the Border Management Authority, or BMA, should significantly reduce the risk of illegal foreigners entering the country illegally. So the white paper proposes that border control must be coupled with immigration. All these acts, citizenship, asylum, refugee protection, immigration, are sort of a continuum, and border management is part of that, and we believe they should not be separate, because when they are separate, they sometimes conflict with each other.
Our guest this morning is Sharon Ekambaram, who is the head of refugee and migration rights, that program at Lawyers for Human Rights, who joins us now on the line. Thank you so much for your time this morning. The minister and the department are saying that our immigration laws are outdated and that we are in a different context to when we signed up, for example, to some international treaties, and that we need a complete overhaul. What are your objections?
Well, thank you for having me, Bongani. Firstly, just to note that in our submission, we had called for, together with a number of civil society organizations, diaspora representation, calling for the withdrawal of this white paper. It was written very badly. Its presentation was incoherent, and its substance was very questionable. And I think that we should be questioning why this rush at this point in time to process this piece of legislation, and is it necessary? And those are the questions that we are raising in what is now clearly being identified by the minister in this final white paper as his taking forward a resolution of the NEC of the ANC, the ruling party. And so, you know, we can't but speculate that this is politicking and politicization of a very serious issue of migration as the parties scramble for votes going up to the elections in May this year.
Let's talk about some of the issues the minister has raised. And I played you a little clip as we started this conversation where he says, for example, one of the difficulties is that the department has no idea how many migrants might be in South Africa legally. There are so many people who are asylum seekers or refugees who get processed, documented at some point, and whether those applications are approved or not, many simply disappear. And there's no way of tracking who they are, where they are. Those kinds of things are surely problematic. You would agree?
I would agree. And we have been calling for a mechanism to collect disaggregated data in South Africa on the movement of people. And this would include internal migration as well, as you would understand that that's critical in terms of budgeting in the different provinces. And Stats SA, an incredible department providing really very important statistics and data, both on its census but also regular reporting, gives us an indication of the major challenges that we are facing just with internal migration. So this problem of disaggregated data is a serious issue that the government and the Department of Home Affairs can deal with. We can put in place a mechanism. And what's the reason for not knowing this information?
But how do we do so if, as the minister suggests, so many asylum seekers, for example, don't even accept the process to adjudicate their refugee status? As soon as they've been processed, as he argues, some of them will disappear. Or what they do is, when the decision doesn't go their way, there are numerous appeals, which leads to backlogs and inefficiencies, and the department is forced to deal with all of those individually and is simply overwhelmed by the numbers.
I'd put it to you that the bigger problem is that of corruption. That, people... we deal on an annual basis with up to 15,000 people, asylum seekers, refugees, who struggle to get regularized, have their stay regularized in our country. It's no joke not to have documentation. And the millions of people in our country who've had their IDs blocked arbitrarily can testify to the serious problems you have. You cannot open a bank account. You cannot get access to education. So the minister doesn't substantiate this with facts of how many people have, there's no access. Let me start on that point.
Can you substantiate your assertion that all of this is largely due to corruption? How do you do so? I mean, are you saying to me that for all 15,000 potential applications, there's a corruption situation in every single case?
What I'm saying to you is that the system has created the possibility for the criminalization of the movement of people. So when you come to arrest and deportation, a bribe is paid and people are not arrested or people are not detained. And the bottom line is that people cannot access the asylum system to get documented. In no way in the world can someone stay with an asylum paper for 15 to 20 years. And that means going every 3 months to the refugee reception office to get your paper stamped to ensure that you are staying legally in the country. And that process is in crisis, where we are dealing with people who go and stand in queues, and the system is not functioning. They cannot access the system. Either the lines are down, or they just simply cannot get access. They try to use the email system, the online system, and that is in crisis. And
Sharon, let me come in here and say, isn't part of the crisis simply that very system is overwhelmed by the numbers? One of the things this white paper seeks to pursue, for example, is the first safe country principle, which the minister says must be applied. If people want to come to South Africa, so many of them skip several countries to get here when they could have sought refuge or safety elsewhere. It seems that we are the primary target for the country they want to come to. What's wrong with that?
Well, let me explain what's wrong with that. For instance, we know that countries like Ghana, countries like Zimbabwe, countries like Cameroon have recently significantly changed their policies and enforced very repressive measures with respect to the LGBTQI plus community. Serious persecution based on your sexual orientation.
But surely, Sharon, the vast number of applicants who are seeking asylum are not members of the LGBTQI plus community.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Surely the vast number of asylum seekers, the majority, are not members of the LGBTQI plus community.
Point is the principle. If someone is fleeing Ghana and is coming through Uganda, is fleeing Uganda and coming
through
Zimbabwe.
They can go to Kenya.
And that's the And Kenya has equally repressive policies on sexual orientation. So it's the exception that makes the rule. And that's the point I'm trying to make to you, is that if we say first country, then those people are not, they're going to be facing further persecution because of the reason that they're running away. And you can't have, and I actually put it to you that we have seen an increasing number of people fleeing because of the persecution based on their sexual orientation.
I completely accept that, but I'm also saying, in terms of the vast number of people who are seeking asylum in a country like South Africa, I would put it to you, and I don't have data readily available, but my instinct would be that it is a minority that are members who are fleeing their countries of origin because of LGBTQI plus persecution. For the majority, why can't they go to the first safe country?
I still make my point that you cannot have a general ruling of that nature. The 1951 Convention makes it very clear, and our Refugee Act is very, very clear on the need for people to flee if they have to flee because of fear of their lives, where in countries like the DRC, rape is used as a weapon of war and women are fleeing and face shocking conditions on their journey coming to our country. And, you know, Bongani, one of the reasons, many reasons that people give for coming to our country is that we represent globally. We're a beacon of hope on respect for human rights and human dignity. That's what South Africa represents. And when we went to the International Court of Justice with respect to Gaza and the genocide, there, that was testament to our dedication to justice and human rights. And so people are fleeing and coming to our country, seeing this as a haven for respect for their human rights. And in return, we have a system that is dysfunctional. There is mismanagement. And that's what needs to be resolved, not forming new policies. And I put it to you that the minister is politicking to score votes, to appease voters, and we need to be much more rigorous in holding our government to account, whoever is in power. And that's
Jerome Ekarambadam, I appreciate your time, the head of Refugee and Migration Rights, that program at Lawyers for Human Rights. Is this all about politics? Are we taking steps back on our human rights approach and record for cheap populism and political points? Or is the minister correct to take us down this path?